right. Good evening and welcome to the second service in our missions conference for 2020. And it is good to see you here. Thank you for being with us. Those of you joining via live stream, thank you for doing that. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us and be with us live. That is a blessing to me, and it's an encouragement to know that you're watching. I know you wish you could be here. We wish you could be here as well, but we appreciate the fact that you're joining us on YouTube. Very, very good. Well, we had a great service yesterday evening. That was certainly a blessing. I was touched and encouraged and challenged, and I know from the message that Brother Kotfuss brought to us, that was a blessing and a challenge to me, and I mentioned the statement a couple of times to you where he said that God expects more of us than we probably think, something along those lines anyway. That stood out to me and challenged me, and I hope it challenged you as well. And in the meantime, we're here for another evening, and we look forward to this evening. We're going to switch the schedule this evening up just a little bit. I'll explain that here in just a little while. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you that, you know, we are here because there is just a little bit of time left to serve the Lord with the life that we have. The theme for this year is while there's still time. And the whole idea behind that is the fact that we need to do what we can when we can with what God has given us. Because we are not guaranteed that we'll have much time. We're not guaranteed that we'll have tomorrow. And very, very soon, we will all be standing before the Lord. And I want you to understand, and I think as members of Madison Baptist, you understand, anybody watching via live stream, the YouTube channel, I hope you understand as well, that when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not going to judge you based on what was convenient, what you thought maybe you should do, anything like that, and he's not going to look to me to answer for you. You're going to be standing there on your own, and you will give an account, and I will give an account for the life that God gave to us, and we will give an account to Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll guarantee you, not one of my excuses will stand before him when he gave his life for me. Not one of your excuses will stand either. And I want, as your pastor, to be a catalyst used by God, a mouthpiece used by God, to remind you that you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday. So give him your all. You'll be so glad you did. And by the way, he'll make it worth your while you're living here on this earth, even before you stand before him. It's worth it to serve the Lord. So keep those things in mind. Remain standing. We're going to pray. And I'm thankful that Jesus does save. And that's the message that we have. That's why we have Missions Conference, because Jesus does save. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. I'm going to pray out loud. I'm going to ask you to pray silently with me. Let's ask God to make this a special evening where he meets with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day that you gave to us today, and I thank you for the good service that we had last night. I thank you, Lord, for the missionary families that you've brought to be with us, and I thank you, dear Lord, just for the privilege of being able to be a part of your work. And Lord, I thank you for this church, and I recognize that anything and everything that's ever gone on in this church that's been of any good whatsoever has been you and your working. Lord, we get no glory for it. There's nothing that we've done that makes us better than anybody else. Lord, you get all of the glory for everything. Even when we stand before you, the crowns that you do give to us, we will cast back at your feet because you're the one that really did it all, and without you, we can do nothing. So Lord, we recognize that tonight. Lord, we want to meet with you tonight. Lord, we certainly have our itinerary. We have our plan of how the service will go. Lord, we'd like certain things to happen. I certainly, as the pastor, Lord, you know, I have things that I would like to see accomplished, but Lord, all those things are vain and empty. They really mean nothing. Lord, what you want is important, and what you want needs to be done, and I pray that you would make sure that that happens, and only you can, Lord. I don't know any other way other than to do the things the way I think they ought to be done, but Lord, I just submit to you that if you want to change them, Lord, it's your conference. You do that. Lord, would you challenge us about this theme? I do believe the theme is from you, that while there's still time, we need to be working. Lord, would you challenge us with this theme and use it for your honor and glory? Lord, have your hand upon everything. Let us be a blessing to the missionaries and them in return to us. And may Christ receive all the glory. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, we're going to have some special music. And the Weiss family is going to provide that today. Thank you.
double riches of Christ, wealth that can never be told, riches exhaustless of mercy and grace, precious, more precious than gold. Precious, more precious, wealth that can never be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold. Unsearchable riches of Christ, who shall their greatness declare? Jewels whose luster our lives may adorn, pearls that the poorest may wear. Precious, wealth that can never be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, freely, how freely they flow, making the souls of the faithful and true happy wherever they go. Unsearchable riches of Christ, who would not gladly endure trials, afflictions, and crosses on earth, riches like these to secure.
Last night, we introduced the three families that we have as a part of our missions conference this year, and we introduced the Bartels family, their missionaries to Russia, and then also we have the Kotvas family, their missionaries to Peru and other places in South America, and then also we have the Miller family with us and their missionaries to Mexico, and we were privileged to hear from each of them in a different format last night. And that was an encouragement to me. Now, tonight, we're going to switch things up in this regard. Normally, each night, we would have a different person sing or a family sing, different family show their presentation, and one of the men preach. But as I mentioned to you last night, Brother Bartels has a grandmother in Springfield, Missouri, that is not doing well health-wise. And it looks like she probably, there's a good chance that she will be going home to be with the Lord sometime soon. And so we want to give Brother Bartels the opportunity to go there and be a part of the family. You understand how that goes. We've all lost family members. I told Brother Bartels I lost my mother this year, and so that is something that I can understand, that there is a near and dear place in our heart with family, especially godly family. It's been a godly influence, and so I know he'd like to be there. So he will be leaving either tonight after the service sometime or tomorrow morning, one of those two. And so I wanted him to be able to not only give his presentation, but also preach tonight. So Brother Kotvas normally was going to be the one to show his presentation, but he graciously stepped aside so that Brother Bartels could get both of those in tonight. So anyway, with that said, I've asked him to come and share with us the burden that God has placed on his heart and the heart of his wife and their family for the country of Russia. And by the way, just as a side note, you won't find any two cuter kids than their kids. They're just good, cute kids. So there you go. What can you say? That I guess that makes them worthy of support. If your kids are cute, usually that works well in the pastor's heart anyway. So anyway, we're glad they could be with us. But brother, all teasing aside, we're glad you could be here and share with us your burden for Russia.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it is wonderful to be here with you, church. Thank you so much for having us in this conference. It's been a blessing already to get to know some of you. I wish I could be here for the rest of the time to get to know y'all a little bit better, but I do appreciate your prayers, and I thank you so much for that. Please just continue to pray, and we'd greatly, greatly appreciate your prayers in regards to that. We had a great time with the Cattells tonight, and we went over and ate some wonderful food and had some wonderful dessert and some wonderful fellowship, and it's just been the whole conference through from yesterday to now and has been just such a blessing. And so thank you for all your hard work. We greatly appreciate it. So we are the Bartels going to Russia. My name's Jonathan. My wife, Courtney, is in the back. And our two kiddos in the nursery, Bradley and Kimberly. And the Lord's been good to us. Before I get into Russia, let me tell you a little bit more about myself and give you a little bit of background of where I come from and then kind of how Russia came about in my life. So I come from a good Christian home. The Lord blessed me tremendously with that. I come from a long line of preachers on my mom's side. It goes all the way back to my great-great-grandfather. My dad's side, my grandfather was a pastor. My dad traveled in evangelism for a little while. So the Lord has blessed me tremendously with a Christian, a wonderful Christian home. We've been in church every time the doors were open. Especially if there are food fellowships, amen, we were there. And so God's been good to us, but going to church every time the doors are open, having a good Christian home doesn't make you a Christian.
That's right.
And my pastor preached one night on how secondary Christianity doesn't cut it, how a lot of young people, such as myself, that grow up in a good Christian home tend to write off the coattails of their parents' Christianity, never settle it for themselves. And through that message, the Lord convicted my heart, and I realized that was me. And talked with my pastor, and he led me to the Lord and came, trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. It's not in my parents. It's not in a religion. It's through the personal Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so got saved then, been saved ever since. Amen. So went to a youth camp when I was 13, and the Lord really burdened my heart for missions. I didn't know exactly what he wanted me to do, where he wanted me to go, but I knew I had a burden. I knew that's kind of where the Lord was leading me, so I left that door open and just kept praying about it. And then when I was 16, the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to go to Russia. And I was in Russia for about 3.5 months. And through that, the Lord really burdened my heart for Russia, for the need of the people there. Saw how many people were there, but how few missionaries. And the Lord really burdened my heart for Russia and for the Russian people. And came back to the States in 2014. Went to Bible college down in Providence Baptist College in Elgin, Illinois, under Pastor Keith Gomez. And through there in Bible college, my first semester there, the Lord really made it clear that Russia was where he wanted me to serve him with my life. So surrendered to that call to go to Russia. I said, yes, sir, and went to Russia. Well, getting ready to go to Russia, amen, and met my wife in Bible college. Best thing that happened out of Providence Baptist College. A pastor told me it's probably not the best thing that happened for her out of college, but it's the best thing that happened for me. And so God's been good. Now we've got two wonderful children, and I've been on the road now for a little over a year and a half. Had about a two-month delay with all the COVID virus, but God's been good. Through that, whole delay, our daughter was born, and so it's just, it was a blessing. Didn't realize how much of an adjustment it is from going to one child to two, but there is an adjustment. And so that was good to actually be off the road for that and kind of get used to having two kids around. So God's been good. Can only imagine, brother, what it's like to have eight. Two's almost enough. But no, God's been good. So thus far, we've been able to raise about 57, a little over 57% of our support thus far. God's been good. We're praying, and please pray with us that God would get us to the field by October next year. That's what we're shooting for, and we'd greatly appreciate your prayers in regards to that. We've got prayer cards out on our table. Please take one. We do covet your prayers. Church, there's a point when we reach enough financial support to get over there, do ministry effectively, and stay over there. But to reach enough prayer support, it can never happen. So we do earnestly covet your prayers, and so please pray for us. We are going to the city of Krasnoyarsk, Russia, in Siberia, is where we'll start off. And then, Lord willing, once we get over there, we're going to help out missionaries David and Didi Sterling. They've been over there for 20 years now. They've helped start a church in the city of Krasnoyarsk. They've now moved outside the city in a town called Alita, working on getting a... They've got about 7 or 8 adults that are coming to their house for Bible study. But they're working on trying to get their building so that their work can just continue to grow. So Lord willing, we can get over there by the time they get their building, and we can be extra hands to the work and help them out wherever they need. Once we get over there in the city of Krasnoyarsk, there's a university that has language school where we'll get enrolled into the language school, learn the language over there. That'll take a couple of years and just help out Brother Sterling wherever he needs it. So the Lord's given us a couple of different burdens. One of them is to help out Brother Sterling. And I know that kind of sounds a little bit redundant, but since Brother Sterling has moved outside the city, he has had a little bit of difficulty in with this work. It seems like every time he'd make some ground and make some progress and see some growth, he'd have to come back to the States for a furlough, a short furlough for one reason or another. And it's like he took 2 steps back. And when he gets back over there, he's like, got to try to restart everything. So the Lord's really burdened our hearts so that our ministries can kind of overlap, where if he needs to go come back to the States on furlough, we can be over there and watch over the work and keep it going and hopefully, Lord willing, keep it growing. And then whenever they get back over, if we need to go on furlough, then they're over there. And so we're just continually moving forward. It's not just taking steps back. So the Lord's really burdened our hearts to help Brother Sterling, at least until there's a man that in the church that's discipled, that is qualified, that can fulfill that role that I would be fulfilling. So does that make sense? Yep. Wonderful. So that's really one of the burdens that the Lord's put on our hearts, is to help Brother Sterling in that area. Lord willing, once that's accomplished, or until the Lord moves us somewhere else, he has put a burden on our hearts for the city of Yakutsk, Russia. Yakutsk is farther northeast in Siberia, about 2,500 miles from the city of Krasnoyarsk, Russia. It's just south of, about 200 miles south of the Arctic Circle. Yakutsk is known as and is the coldest capital in the world. God's given us a unique desire to reach people in the coldest parts of the world. It's okay, we're crazy. We claim crazy, okay? You can think that. But in the coldest capital of the world, there's 300,000 people that make that their home. 300,000 people that don't have a single gospel preaching church, and to our knowledge, there's not a single gospel preaching missionary that's reaching those folks. 300,000 people. Church, I still believe the 300,000 people Christ died for. And we've got to reach them with the gospel. We have the ability to. We've got it. We've got the answer. And we've got to reach those people with the gospel. And so please pray for us. Bartels, Bartels, to Russia. It's on our prayer card. You can get on our website. As soon as you pull up our website, you'll see a button that says video presentation. But if you want to watch it on your own time, you can get on our website. It's just a short 3-minute, 3.5-minute video that'll give you a little bit of a glimpse of our burden. And I hope you take the time to watch that. You can also subscribe to our prayer letter on our website, get our prayer updates. But It just talks a little bit about the, in Yakutsk, there's, as I mentioned, there's 300,000 people. They're their own type of people. They're Yakut people. They speak their own language. They speak Yakut. And so for us to get up there, Lord willing, once we get up there, we'll have to learn their language. They also speak Russian, but are obviously more comfortable in their native tongue. But so to learn their language, and obviously they've got a whole different way of life, different culture, so to speak, than what we would have 2,500 miles south, southwest. So there's a little bit of a change that we would have to make, an adjustment. But to reach those people with the gospel, they feel that everyone has a need for God. That God puts that in everybody. There's a hole that only Christ can fill. They try to fill that, though, with false religion. Their main religion up there, throughout Russia, is the Russian Orthodox Church, which somebody very adequately described it as Catholics on steroids with a little bit of a government flavor. So that's pretty much accurate. So that's kind of the religion throughout Russia, but up there it's shamanism. And so it's a little bit of a more of a tribal type religion, but they're searching. So if you don't know much about shamanism, they go in and out of consciousness to try to connect with the spirit world. They're searching. That's our God-given, that's how God created us. We're to search for something. But obviously, they're searching in the wrong places. And they're avid drinkers, as if you know Russia, Russians. They try to fill this void with this false religion, tradition, alcohol, booze, immorality. That doesn't cut it. We've got the truth. Here it is. And it's that Christ died for them. He desires to have a personal relationship with them. And somebody has to be willing to tell them that truth. And so we want to get up there and reach those people with the gospel. And see souls saved, churches started, and just people discipled in it, and to repeat. So please pray for us. We'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I apologize for the video, but you can get on our website and take the time to watch it on your own personal time. But thank you so much, church, for having us. And thank you, Pastor. And thank you so much for your prayers. We greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that very much.
But boy, what a needy place, huh? Think about that. A city with 300,000 people and no gospel witness that we're aware of. And, you know, not many people are clamoring to go to the coldest capital in the world and share the gospel, are they? Not many people clamoring to do that. And yet, those are people for whom Jesus died, people that will, again, stand at the judgment someday. And without Christ, they will have no answer for their sin. So what a needy, needy place. So pray for the Bartels family. Pray for them tonight or tomorrow morning sometime as they drive down to Missouri. But also pray for them specifically about getting to the field and being able to reach people like that with the gospel. So remember, our theme being about while there's still time, we have some scripture reading each of the main services that will have a bearing on that. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And this is a chapter that has something to do with the fact that our life is, just like we read last night, it is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, Ecclesiastes 12 puts that in some other words, and words that are from the man that God gave great wisdom to, Solomon. And he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened." By the way, this is all talking about old age, isn't it? Verse 4. And the doors be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Time is short. Even if the Lord tarries, our lives are short. Listen, the time will come very, very soon, young people especially. Listen, the time will come soon when you'll be an old man or you'll be an old woman. Listen, it will happen very, very soon. And you know, the time for you to really be able to give your life and serve the Lord as much as you would like will be gone. And you know what? Learning a language will be just about impossible. Being able to give the time that you would want to give to missionary work will be difficult because you'll get tired early. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. If you're going to serve God, do it now. Now's the time. Last night we showed a short video from Evangelist Caleb Garraway based on the diary of Jim Elliott, who is a missionary to the Aucca Indians in South America. And tonight I want to show you another video from Evangelist Caleb Garraway. This one is one that we've seen again in the last several months. Sometime this year it was that I showed this video. This one's a little bit different. This one is based off of a sermon preached by a preacher who was not a Baptist, but definitely was a man of God, Leonard Ravenhill. And he touches on revival and the need for us to have real Christianity. I want you to think about your own Christianity and what it will be like when you stand before the Lord as we watch this short video.
I'm sick of theology and words. We need God to move in our midst. O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, Lord, don't stay there. Come down here. The one thing that alarms me in America and England is that there is no alarm in the church. You say America needs God. No, she doesn't. The church needs God. If the church gets God, America will soon feel it. She'll be staggering.
A preacher said something the other day that's very disturbing.
end of everything. That's revival. When you can't sit through the meeting, you feel you've got a burning cancer. If I don't get to the cross now, I may die before the meeting's over. Every preacher who has lost the fire, you should be on your face down here. You used to burn, but you got so busy with organizing. The fire has gone out. Come on. You can't patch up your prayer life when you get to the judgment seat. You can't sacrifice when you get to the judgment seat. You can't weep when you get to the judgment seat. It's all between here and there. Listen, if our God is a consuming fire, and he is, if he takes up residence in you, you'll burn till you die. God needs a torch of holy fire in your house. He wants a fire in you to read the word of God to your family. He wants the fire of God your neighbors will know. I can't live in coldness anymore. I can't live in blindness anymore. I can't be indifferent to a dying world. Yes. Glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
dear Redeemer.
Was in Spanish, by the way. Very good. That's the one part of the Spanish language our entire church can say is an applause. Very good. That was a blessing, though. Thank you so much for that. I could listen to that all night. That's enjoyable. Amen. But we need to get to God's Word as well. It's certainly a blessing to hear good Christian music and to be blessed by that. And that's an encouragement to me. But we need to be challenged by God's Word. And I'm thankful for the challenge that we had last night, and I'm looking forward to what Brother Bartels is going to bring from God's Word to us tonight. So, Brother, if you would, you come. The pulpit is yours. Again, we're glad to have you and your wife, and you share with us God's Word, if you would.
Thank you so much. Well, you all have wonderful sound men back there that were able to get my video downloaded from my website so that it should work this time. So, before we get into the message, why don't we take a few moments and hopefully we can watch this video and give you a little bit more insight about Yakutsk, Russia.
This is the Siberian region of Yakutia, where brutal winters are a normal part of life. But even here, minus 67 is extraordinary. In January, it came close to Russia's coldest temperatures ever, and even broke some thermometers.
People ask us, why would you want to go to a place that's so cold, or even a place that's seemingly uninhabited? And the truth is that there's over 300,000 people in the city of Yakutsk. Those are people that Christ died for. And because of that, God has given us a desire to reach those people in Yakutsk. These people seemingly have no hope. And because of that, they try to fill that void with false religion and tradition, which only leads to brokenness and depression. Someone has to be willing to tell them the truth. The truth that Christ died for them and desires to have a personal relationship with them. So God has given us a tremendous task to go to a foreign country, to learn a new language, to learn a culture that we don't understand, and to reach these people with the gospel in this type of an environment, and to build churches and to build a ministry to reach these people with the gospel, to tell them the truth that Christ died for them, that truth that He wants to have that relationship with them. God has put that task in front of us for us to accomplish so that we can bring Him glory. This task that God has given us to do is too big for us to do it on our own. And God never intended for us to do it on our own. Paul said to the Philippians, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that abounds to your account. Our desire is that churches would partner with us prayerfully and financially, that God would give us the grace that we need to accomplish the task that He set before us.
Pray for us. We'd greatly appreciate that. I hope you can tell that we need your prayers. Whoever wants to come with, there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. Honestly, though, we need missionaries. We need people to step up. That's going to step to the plate and rise to the occasion to say, I'll go. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. If it's the coldest place in the world, I'll go. Yep. And I'm thankful that He called me to the coldest place and not the hottest place. So I cannot deal with heat very well. Young people, can I challenge you with this? There's going to come a time when veteran missionaries step off the field. Who's going to take their place if we don't step up and say, I'll go. I'll do it. I don't know how familiar you all are with Brother Oswardy, Brother Don Oswardy. He was a missionary to Russia. Under some circumstances, he was forced to have to leave Russia and come home. At the time, I had already met Brother Oswardy. I met him when I was 16 in the missions trip that I went on. And so I met him, but then he came home, and I was in Bible college, and he came home and was Pastor Gomez hired him on at the college to be on staff there. He looked at me and he said, I'm thankful somebody else is willing to take the torch and pick up where I left off. Young people, we've got to step up. We've got to reach people with the gospel and to be willing, not necessarily, if the Lord has you be a missionary, praise the Lord, but really just to say, Lord, whatever you want for my life. Seen too many young people throw their lives away to go buy, sell, and get gain. What's the profit? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But it doesn't just stop at the young people. Church family. I was talking with the family that we were with this evening. There was a couple that was retirement age. They retired. The man was into the service, and he put in his 20 years of service, and now he retired, and now he's going out to the mission field. He goes out and he helps people that are starting out, starting a work, and he helps them for about 3 to 4 months, and then comes home, and then goes out to another country and helps another missionary for about 3 to 4 months, and comes home. Because that's what God's called him to do at retirement age. It doesn't just stop at young people. God has a specific will for each and every individual in this room. I believe that with all my heart. The Great Commission, as we heard last night, has no age limit on it. It's for everyone. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2 this evening. Mark chapter number 2. The pastor was very generous in giving us a time limit. But there was another pastor who told me, preacher, he's like, you know how old you are is how many minutes you get to preach. So I've got 23 minutes. Amen. So we will be out of here shortly. And preacher, you can use that. I don't know if that helps you or hurts you, but Mark chapter number 2. We're going to start here in verse number 1. The Bible says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, know not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your love for us, your goodness to us. Lord, for allowing your Son to come to the cross, to die for our sin, that we might have life through you. Lord, I pray that you just please be with the service tonight. I pray that you'd fill both speaker and listener with your power, with your Spirit, that we might leave this place changed. Lord, I pray that your message would be preached and not mine. God, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Here we see a very familiar story. Growing up in a Christian home, I knew this story going from Sunday school. See that here in verse number 1, the Bible says, And again he entered. Christ was in this city before. In Mark chapter 1, verse 21 is the account of it. It says, And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Christ was well known in this city. He was well known for not just the miracles that he did in this city previously, but also for his teaching, for his doctrine. He taught them as one that had authority, and he did have authority.
Amen.
So the Bible says, And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. He was well known. It didn't take very much time for people to begin to talk and say, Hey, Christ is coming back into the city. Christ is coming back. And then it says straightway, immediately. It didn't take much time at all. The house filled up. It was packed out. They couldn't fit another person in there. The Bible says there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. They didn't practice social distancing, amen? They were packed in there. Then the Bible introduces us to this man that is sick of the palsy. This man is helpless and hopeless. He can't move. He has a physical condition. He's sick. And these four men, they bring this man to Christ. And because the house was so packed, they couldn't get him in. So they go up on the roof and they tear apart the roof and they lower this man down. And as a result, Christ heals him. I want to go back through here. That's the story. But there's some truths that we can pull out of this that I think is very, very important that can be a help. Here in verse number 3, I want you to notice. It says, And they come unto him bringing how many? One. Church, if we're going to win the world to Christ, it happens one at a time. We heard a statistic last night that one a year, 35 years, am I correct? 35 years to reach 8 billion people. One at a time. If we focus on our city, it might get overwhelming. If I focus on the country of Russia, it's going to get overwhelming. But what we can focus on is that one. That one neighbor. That one coworker. That one family member. And then Lord willing, once we bring them to Christ, okay, what's the next one we can focus on? And focus on that one, and then that one, and then that one. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. I want you to notice these four men. We don't know much about them. According to the Bible, we know there's four. In Luke chapter 5, verse 18, we know that they're men. That's about all we know. We don't know what relationship these four men had with this man that was sick of the palsy. We don't know what that relationship entailed. Maybe they were these four men were just concerned citizens. As they walked by this man day in and day out, as they went to work, they saw him lying on his bed, sick of the palsy. He can't move. and they saw him day in and day out as they went to work. Maybe they were just concerned citizens. Maybe they were friends of this man who knew his condition. He was sick of the palsy. They knew that he needed help. Maybe they were family members who grew up and knew their brother's condition. We don't know what type of relationship these four men had with this man that was sick. Quite frankly, I believe the Bible does that because it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what our relationship is between us and the person in Walmart. Doesn't matter what our relationship is between us and the person walking down the street. Doesn't matter what our relationship is between us and somebody halfway across the world. Church, what matters is do we see the need? These four men, we don't know what relationship that was, but we know they saw the need. They saw, hey, this man is sick. This man has a physical condition. I'm going to move this down here real quick. He has a need. And they saw that need. Not only did they see that need, but church, they knew who to get them to. They knew that Christ was coming in. And church, we have the answer. We know who to get them to if we could only just see a need. Yep. We've got to see a need. Because that's where it starts. They saw a need. They saw this man had the condition. They knew that Christ was there. Church, when was the last time we saw a need? No matter what the relationship may be, maybe it is a friend. Maybe it is a coworker. Maybe it is a family member. But maybe it's a guy standing on the corner of the street with a cardboard sign. Do you see the need? Do we see people as never-dying souls that's going to spend eternity somewhere? When was the last time you handed out a gospel tract? Because you saw a need. Maybe at a gas pump or in line at Walmart or at the grocery store. When was the last time we truly saw a need? When was the last time we had the eyes of Christ that were moved with compassion? Many times, as the Bible mentions, that when Christ saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. 15:32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion. Mark 8:2, I have compassion on the multitude. Jude 22, and some have compassion making a difference. When was the last time we saw a need and were moved with compassion? We're Americans. We have a schedule. We are very busy people. Don't be too busy, you miss people. That you're not willing to take time out of that schedule to witness to somebody, to give a gospel tract out, to be willing to share the Great Commission and do the Great Commission and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're too busy. I don't have time for that. We've got to see a need. That's where it starts. Spent quite a bit of time on this because if we cannot get this down, the rest of my message is useless. We've got to see people as never-dying souls. You believe you have a never-dying soul? You believe Christ died for your soul? You believe it's a wonderful thing that you're able to get to go to heaven? But is it just for you? I don't think so. We've got to share that with others. These four men, they saw a need. Because they saw a need, they, as the Bible says, they let their eye affect their heart. And they became burdened for the need. When was the last time we were burdened for somebody? We were burdened for souls. When was the last time we wept hot tears over a lost soul? over something eternal, not over something temporal. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 5 through 6, says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The Sterlings, you know what it does whenever you weep over somebody's soul you've been working on? Makes salvation a whole lot sweeter. The Sterlings were, they've been outside the city now, as I mentioned. Ever since they moved outside this city, they've obviously had a neighbor. And this neighborly lady, just a sweet, sweet elderly Russian babushka. It's a Russian grandma. Just sweet as can be. When we met her over in 2018, we fell in love with her. Her name's Baba Vara. Sterlings have been over there, and they've been working with Baba Vara, just trying to help her out, being good neighbors, being a good testimony. A lot of places over there heat their houses by coal. And during the winter, sometimes their boys, they've got two boys, and their boys would go over and shovel coal into her stove, make sure she'd stay warm. They've also got the Sterlings have two goats for a couple of reasons, to teach their boys character, which is a good thing, I think. I firmly believe in it. But the goat milk, they use it for themselves, but they also use it as a ministry opportunity to. Over there, you've got to really gain relationships and gain trust before you can talk about somebody's soul. And they use that goat milk to be able to get their foot in the door with a relationship. So they would help with Baba Var and give her some goat milk and just trying to be good neighbors when groceries would come in. Her and Mrs. Sterling and Becca, their daughter, would go over and help put groceries away, make sure she had everything she needed, that she was taken care of. The Sterlings are actually back in the States right now. They came back to the States this year in June for a short furlough. 2 days before they came over to the States, they went over and were making sure Baba Vara had everything she needed, making sure she didn't need anything, making sure she was set while they were over here in the States. And Mrs. Sterling gave Brother Sterling a look, and Brother Sterling knew, hey, she's going to be able to witness to her for a little while. And so they kind of kept busy around the place, and Mrs. Sterling was able to get into the gospel with her and witness to her. And after 2 hours, Baba Vara sweetly got saved. Amen. I guarantee you they wept over Baba Vara. Yeah. That took 14 years of work. 14 years of a good testimony. 14 years of being a good neighbor. 14 years of witnessing to her every time the door presented itself. 14 years of prayer. You can't tell me they didn't weep over her. But you know what that weeping did? I can only imagine what happened in that house when she accepted Christ as her Savior. Woo! When we met her for 2 years, she was on our prayer list. We've been praying for her. They told us the news. Man, we were thrilled. Do you have that type of a burden for somebody? To be willing to work with them for 14 years? Church, don't give up on people. They're worth it. They were burdened. When was the last time we were burdened? So burdened that we were just so ate up with it. Man, we've got to get them the gospel. We've got to get them to Christ. They were burdened. Because they were burdened, they were determined. Look in verse number 4. It says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." They were determined. Too many times I think we read through that and we don't really think about it. You realize how much work that would be to take apart this roof? This one right here. To lower down a man in a bed. That's a lot of work with the right kind of tools. Over there, you're not talking drywall and studs. Over there, their roof was a part of their yard. Remember David?
Bathsheba. You're talking stone slabs. You realize how much work that took to tear apart a roof? They were determined. They said, hey, no matter what it takes, no matter how long we have to work, we are going to get this man to Jesus. Why? Because they saw a need. And they became burdened for the need to say, hey, no matter what we have to do, we are going to get this man to Christ. When was the last time we were so determined to say, hey, no matter what we've got to do, no matter how long we have to work, we are going to get this person to Christ? Church, I firmly believe in door-to-door soul winning. I believe it still works. However, I don't believe it's the only way that works. There's other avenues you could get people the gospel. You can invite someone out to coffee. If you don't like coffee, you can have tea. Or is a cup of coffee too much for somebody's soul? They did whatever it took. Picture with me for a moment. Hopefully you've been out soul winning. Has there ever been a time that you went out soul winning and, man, you were able to get somebody the gospel and they were ready? Man, it was just like a divine appointment. You could tell they were sincere, they were ready. They got it. And it didn't take much time at all. Picture with me for a moment. You just took them right through the front door. You got them straight into Christ. You know what the Sterlings were doing for 14 years? They were tearing apart a roof. The roof of false doctrine of the Russian Orthodox Church. All the false teachings. Why this is wrong and why that is wrong and why this isn't biblical and why that isn't biblical. For 14 years, tearing apart a roof, saying, hey, no matter what it takes, we're going to get her to Christ. Because, church, we know who to get them to. We know that Christ is the answer. We know that He's the great physician. Are we willing to get them there? To do whatever it takes? These four men, they saw a need. They were burdened for the need because they let their eye affect their heart. They were determined to say, hey, no matter what we have to do, we're going to get this man to Christ. Why? Verse number 5, and we'll be through tonight. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's collectively. It doesn't say when Jesus saw the sick of the palsy's faith. It said when Jesus saw their faith. They were determined because they had the faith that said, hey, if we do our part, God will do His. Church, if we do our part, God will do His. It's our job to sow the seed. And God's promised us that His word won't return void. But we have to put in the work. We have to put in the footwork and put leather to pavement and get out and share the gospel with people. We've got to do our part. We should have the faith that says, if we do our part, God will do His. But go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and we'll be done. Verse 14 says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If you have the faith to say, if we do our part, God will do His, you better have the works to back up that faith. Are we determined? Are we burdened? Do we see a need? Church, that's where it starts. If you don't see the need, you're not going to become burdened. If you don't see the need, you're not going to become determined. If you don't see the need, you're not going to act out that faith and put the work behind it. So that's the question, because that's where it starts. Do we see a need? Not just around the world. I know it's a missions conference, but right here in Madison, right here in your town, your block, your neighborhood, do you see the need? Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to dive into your word, get some truths out of it. Lord, I pray that it'd be a blessing. Pray that you'd work in hearts, stir some. Lord, I pray that if it be your will, that you'd call some into full-time ministry. Lord, may your will be done. May you be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.